Hey, we had some rain, and we have roses. How do we put the two together, Mr. Harper?
Do you know who this is singing this?
Give me a second. Linda.
Linda. It's close.
Rodstedt. No?
That's not my girlfriend.
Hang on.
It's not Linda, it's Lynn.
Lynn.
She actually has a rose named after her, this lady.
All right. For the sake of the listening
You'll never get it. Lynn Anderson.
Yes. Man, I listen to old country music.
Yeah, that's an oldie, too.
You can tell I'm a little off, you know, with kids, that kind of changes. I never used to listen to anything that was newer than George Strait's first album.
Well, this would be older than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was as new as I would go.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
Conway Twitty. Old Waylon Jennings back from the 50s.
Lynn Anderson, Tammy Wynette. There you go. Yep. Rose Gardens.
But it's more like Dierks Bentley now with the kids. John Pratt?
Who? I don't even know.
John Pratt? That's Sanderson Ford. He's got a hit record?
No. So anyway.
John Prine's an old guy. Now you're going back to the old.
John Prine, yeah.
Yeah, it's an oldie. So he was just here not too long ago.
There's some new John guy out of California that they all like. So anyway. You got me on that one. Rose Garden.
Probably
nice.
Some handsome dude that needs to shave.
Right. You know, they all...
So coming up, I mean, this is the time to be planting roses in your garden, trimming roses, pruning roses, planting roses, taking care of roses. And the Mesa East Valley Rose Society has a rose auction as a fundraiser for their club every year. This year it's the 2nd of February, so in a couple of weeks on a Saturday, and it's at Mesa Community College. So they have all those roses in the rose garden out there, and they have their auction there. It's at the student center. If you pull into Mesa Community College off of Southern, and you kind of the first thing you see is a big clock tower. That's where the room is. Just look for that clock tower. Doors open at noon. The auction starts at 1 p.m. They have over 100 roses. And I know Tyler Francis from Francis Roses, which is right out here in the West Valley. They grow a ton of roses for the market. They've donated a bunch of roses, a bunch of new ones, and they've got some goodies. Oldies, talk about old music. They got some oldies but goodies like Double Delight and some different varieties that are just tried and true there. It's a fun thing to do. There's lots of... There'll be lots of experts there, what we call consulting rosarians, people that have, in a nutshell, been doing this a long time. If you've got questions about roses, you can get those answered. I'm going to be there, you know, from maybe 11 to 1 or 2 with some of our Hickman's Farm's Choice fertilizer products. If you've got any questions about those, want to get a sample of some of those, come by. And anybody that comes to the auction and mentions Rosie on the House will get $10 off their purchase at checkout.
Very nice.
So they've offered that as an incentive to come on out. Mesa Community College, couple weeks, February 2nd. Doors open at noon, auctions at 1. I guess it goes till they're done, till they're gone.
Yeah. And if you have existing roses, now's a critical time for... pruning, I believe?
The next 2 or 3 weeks, yeah. But by the middle of February, you probably want to be completed. But you got to prune roses back. They bloom on new growth. So we want to get rid of old stuff. We want to get rid of maybe they've gotten too choked up. They're too thick. They've got some old canes. We want to keep some new canes regenerating. So if you're not sure how to do that, a lot of our local nurseries have rose pruning clinics. They'll have these consulting rosarians from the various rose organizations come out and conduct a clinic. You could also take a picture now with modern technology. Take your iPhone, take a picture of your roses, take them to this event, go find one of these consulting rosarians, and they could very easily point out, yeah, I'd take that cane out, I'd leave that one, I'd cut it back this far. and there's nothing short of just really diving in and doing it to kind of help you with it. But people get a little... they get a little afraid to start pruning, and you really aren't going to screw them up if you prune them pretty hard. But
and my grandmother, Baby Kay, has kept roses for years on the north side of their house. And when you say you can't screw up, I mean, chop off to the ground. Summertime, come back, we get together for the 4th of July, have this beautiful, huge shrub.
Yeah. Yeah, people will gasp sometimes when I tell you, no, cut it, yeah, keep going, nope, more. Yeah, so, yep, they grow fast, and you get all that new growth, which means you get all these new terminal buds and ends and flowers, and it controls the size, because if you don't do it, you're going to end up with this 10-foot monster full of thorns. That's not going to be a lot of fun to prune next year. So I'm sure they'll have all kinds of goodies there besides roses. They usually have fertilizers and gloves and pruners and all kinds of cool stuff. So,
and we've posted that at rosieonthehouse.com in our events. It took me a second to find it because you got to read the whole thing. Just look for Rose Auction. I should put the abbreviation. It's
right.
The Mesa East Valley Rose Society. At the end, so you see Rose Auction first. But we've got all the details there, along with the website location. That's February 2nd. That's a Saturday. Our broadcast is over at 11. This starts at noon. I may have to go grab.
You could be it there. You could get there.
Add roses to our landscape. Let's go to the phones now. We've got a few callers that are in line to talk to Jay at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And Georgia, you were actually called. You must have been stealing my mind. I was going to go right to citrus next, and you beat me to it.
Well, good morning. How you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
I want to say God bless our buddy Rosie, and may he continue to heal properly. But I wanted to ask you a question. I'm thinking about planting a navel orange tree.
Okay.
And I've seen one advertised, and it was a Washington navel orange tree. And my question is, do Washington navel trees grow in Arizona?
Washington navel is the kind of old original navel variety that was planted in California, in the 1940s, 30s, 40s, and continues to be planted. It's the commercial navel orange. It's a very fine navel. The only issue we have with navels here in general is if you only have one citrus tree in your yard and you have gravel, desert type landscaping, they prefer California weather. They prefer cooler summers, a little more humidity. And they sometimes will have an issue setting fruit and the fruit staying on when we get those really hot, drying winds in May, which can knock a lot of fruit. So they have been kind of notorious as inconsistent or light producers, or sometimes the fruit doesn't have as much moisture content. However, if you've got multiple citrus trees and you can kind of nestle it in the middle of the row, or maybe on a side yard where it's gets a little more protected from hot, dry, late spring, early summer winds, they do very well here. People with flood irrigation, with grass yards, those types of situations, you're going to be fine. I just caution people, if you got room for one citrus tree, I don't think a Washington navel would be my choice.
We appreciate the question, George, and the call. Good luck with those citrus. You can't go wrong with any type of orange, so.
No, not really. And there's another one. If you want something very similar, but it's very reliable, it does have a few seeds in it. Doesn't quite peel as easy as a navel, but I like Trovitas very well. Good quality fruit, good heavy producer, nice size fruit, but. I'm not really trying to talk him out of planting a Washington navel, but just make sure it's maybe situated in the right location. So,
let's go to Doug, who wants to talk about his mulberry tree. Oh, you know what? I got to do that one. Come on. Don, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I have a simple question. I have an ancient mulberry tree, and I noticed that I had some boring critters that were making the tree bleed last year, and I put the chemicals in to try to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed last week that the bark was starting to peel off and on one side, and I've got about a 4-foot-long swatch of bark missing.
Okay.
And I don't know if that tree is on its last leg, because the thing has got to be 30 years old.
Well, typically what's happened with mulberries over the years is people over-prune them, expose the trunks or the major limbs to too much sun. We get sunburn, and then we get borers, and then we get sooty canker or other infections that take place under that loosening or peeling off bark, and it just kind of spirals into this decline and death. So if you've gotten ahead of it and you've just got one spot, number one, I would be very careful as to how much I pruned the mulberry. Number two, I'd get some of the Go Natural, the natural colored tree paint, and I'd get that peeled off spot and maybe even the whole trunk up to the first main branches painted so that you don't get any more sunburn. As far as the boring insects, if they're in the main trunk of the tree, about the only thing you can do would be to try and treat them chemically. Keep the tree well fertilized, regularly fertilized and watered, and hopefully it will go a good long time yet. But over pruning, people just pollard those trees. They cut them way back. For some reason, in the 60s and 70s, that was the accepted way to do it. It's probably shortened the life of most mulberries. And, of course, you can't plant a male mulberry in Maricopa County anymore anyway, so you don't see very many of them around.
And that's not the only county with restrictions on mulberry.
Pima County was actually the first to do that. We're going way back. I don't think there's any cities left in Maricopa County. It's not a county thing. It was a city thing. But, you got to go outside the county to find one I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
There are places that still sell them.
And they are hardy trees. You'd mentioned that cutting style. I'd never liked that anyway. Why would you?
I think people did it to control the size of the trees. You mentioned they grow fast and they get big. So they just, in the wintertime when they started losing their leaves, or sometimes even before, unfortunately, people just cut them back to the main scaffold limbs and lopped them off. And you just ended up with this really pretty round-headed kind of a tree. What happened is we exposed so much of the trunk so early in the season that they sunburned badly. And once you start losing that protective tissue off of those trees, a lot of bad things happen. And then the secondary and the sooty canker gets in there, and you got all kinds of issues.